Let's give it up for him one more time. I am so very proud of you, Basil, and all of our children. All right. Thank you. Your turn. Thank you, ushers. First, giving all honor and glory to God. To Dr. Robertson, Dr. Bryant, our wonderful Children's Missions Day Planning Committee, our incredible children, especially our wonderful lay speaker, Basil. Amen. My Ebenezer family and dear guests, Brian and Katie, thank you, my friends, for coming. I thank you for this opportunity to present a word from on high. Before I begin, I want to give a special recognition to Deaconess Beatrice Williams, who passed on to glory earlier this year. Her love of Christ and children is evident through the generous gift she left to support Children's Missions Day this year and our broader ministries for children and youth. Let's give her a round of applause. Rest in love and power, Miss B. Thank you so much to young Sister Alexander for reading the scriptures earlier today. I'll repeat them briefly from the New International Version, starting with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. On this Children's Missions Day, 2025, with a request for God to guide my tongue, I offer the following title for this message: What's Changed to a Kid? Growing up, I grew impatient. Mama often chatted on the phone with Grandma Jackson, her siblings, and her friends. When Mama referred to me and my sister, we became one unit, the kids. The kids are doing fine. The kids are playing with their friends. The kids are participating in the church's Black History Month play. The kids were inseparable. Beloved, I wanted desperately to be older, to be Andrew exclusively when updates were offered about my life. Andrew passed the driver's test. Andrew took a small road trip to Dayton. Andrew cooked dinner for his parents' 15th anniversary meal. I wish that such sentences would replace those that started with the kids 20 years ago. I enjoyed my childhood, but I always dreamed of being an adult. Well, that desire to quicken time existed before I knew what a rent payment was. I'd never seen a utility bill. No student loan servicing company had my personal email address. These days, like Dr. Robertson said last Sunday, I tell the Lord that I don't mind if I'm blessed with too much money to pay these numerous, never-ending bills. What a blessing it was to not have a bank account in the year 2000. Today, with just a week before my 34th birthday, I now find myself in a state of nostalgia. What a joy it was to ride in the back of tow trucks with my cousins in Louisiana, spend time with Grandma Hairston at her home in North Carolina, and go grocery shopping with Grandma Jackson on quiet summer days. Even memories that aren't as clear, like laying in Grandpa Hairston's arms as an infant just a few months before his death, bring me into a warm state of reflection. If I could change it, I wouldn't at all mind being grouped with my sister as the kids in 2025. For me, those days are long past. The time of childhood is over. As Dr. Bryant has often shared with us, time is going to move on and bring about change, no matter who you are. There is nothing that can be done to stop the passage of time. And I can personally testify that your appreciation of being fully engaged in the moment will grow as you do. Basil shared this wisdom with us just now. Change is constant, yet so is faith. On this Children's Missions Day, how can we take that reality, apply the scriptures to it, and take it forth into the world? I want to share three ways in which change creates an opportunity for us to draw closer to Christ and shine his light with even greater brightness upon the world. First, change grounds us, and it grounds us in our individual faith walks. Jesus himself dealt with change, yet he instructed his disciples to remain focused on the grand prize of heaven by strengthening their ministry here. Jesus gave us the greatest commandment in Mark chapter 12, to love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. That instruction guides the work of the church in 2025, and it forever will. Jesus knew that we would grow older, move on from where we started, and face loss. He provided the tools to us to weather the peaks and the valleys that come with change. With hope and love, we can take on change and grow our faith in the process. As I reflected on this component of change, I thought of a road trip that my family took to Tallulah, Louisiana, my mother's hometown, just over 2 years ago. My mother, sister, and niece rode in one car, and I drove my father in mine. Through that hours-long conversation, filled with recollections on the fullness of our lives, I felt deeply how our willingness to reject our own understanding and trust in the Lord's direction for our lives had placed us right where we needed to be. As always, that faith that is big enough to cover those things we cannot see was right there with us. Through births and funerals, steady financial times, and moments when the bank account was stressfully low, cross-country moves and returns to old homes, the grounding of Jesus carried us through it all. In the example of me and my father, we have come a long way from being born in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, in 1964 and 1991. And still further we have to go. Through these changes, our grounding, I'd also describe it as our foundation, emerged as a part of our lives that could not be moved. For our children, and Basil said it, I know that much is uncertain about the future. Despite that fact, you should rest assured that each of you is building a strong foundation as you take on the many changes of life, from extracurricular activities to advanced coursework to specialized summer camps. I'm grateful that y'all get to receive that grounding and deepen your faith in a wonderful church home like Ebenezer. As you ground yourselves in the change that is to come, I assure you that Christ and your church family are here for you. Second, change presents us with an opportunity, especially in those tough times in life, like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We can meditate on how change has prepared us for the challenges we presently face. Children, you may think of moments in your own young lives where you've experienced great change. Let's say going from elementary to middle school. How did you take on the opportunity provided by that change? I'm sure y'all spoke with your parents, your friends, and your church family to consistently take on the new challenges, and then you faced them with confidence. Day by day, you adjusted to your new environment by checking in with those you love and who love you right back. In that garden, Jesus knew the ultimate change awaited him. He was to fulfill his destiny by dying on the cross, rising with all power in his hands, and being recognized as the Savior of the world forevermore. Still, he felt the sadness that comes with leaving old circumstances behind. In Mark chapter 14, verses 33 and 34, we hear how Jesus felt in that moment. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Jesus eventually used this moment of solitude as an opportunity to go deeper in the faith. Later in that chapter, Jesus offers us the inspiration to view change as the opportunity it is. Specifically in verse 36, it reads, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Not what I will, but your will be done." In further reflecting on how change creates an opportunity for us, I return to a classic, The Crucifixion by James Weldon Johnson. Here are the first few stanzas. "Jesus, my gentle Jesus, walking in the dark of the garden of Gethsemane, saying to the three disciples, 'Sorrow is in my soul, even unto death. Tarry ye here a little while and watch with me.' Jesus, my burden Jesus, praying in the dark of the garden of Gethsemane, saying, 'Father, oh Father, this bitter cup, let it pass from me.'" Take in the powerful and poetic rhythm of those words. And then let's examine how the author might have taken on the opportunity created by change. According to the NAACP's website, James Weldon Johnson was born in 1871. He came into the world during a period called Reconstruction. In the aftermath of the Civil War, which was fought over the enslavement of black Americans, the country steadily rebuilt from 1865 to 1877. During Reconstruction, black Americans largely dealt with the fear of violence from other Americans who believed that they did not deserve the same rights as everyone else. James Weldon Johnson worked his way through his young years to ultimately become a lawyer, and he was admitted to the Florida Bar Association in 1898 as the first black man since Reconstruction to join that professional association. Just think about the changes that James Weldon Johnson endured in the first 27 years of his life. He leaned on his faith in Christ to earn a spot in the legal profession. And he also used his creative talents to highlight inspiring tales from the Bible. James Weldon Johnson could have developed a hardened heart as he witnessed the mistreatment of black Americans during that time. Instead, he went deeper into his studies and honored God with his pen. That, Ebenezer, represents how the opportunity presented by change can be transformative. Children, hold on to the hope of Christ through every circumstance of your life. Through our belief in Jesus, we have access to eternal life. From there, work hard to learn all that you can and let your brilliance shine out into the world. I know that history makers like James Weldon Johnson are sitting here right before me today. Finally, change is a powerful connector. Everyone who has come before you, who journeys alongside you, and who will come after you will experience change. We are connected through our humanity. God created us and appointed the time for us to walk the earth. We are reminded of this shared experience in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. The race is not given to the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned, but time and chance happen to them all. The love of Jesus also ties us to one another, even as we tackle the changes in our lives. We connect to each other through faith. Just this past week on Thursday, I attended an event on Thursday evening at the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. It's centered on the experiences of a group from the alma mater of both Dr. Robertson and Dr. Bryant, the Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary, on a recent visit to Palestine. The seminarians for a free Palestine connected with the Bethlehem Bible College to hear the stories of Palestinian Christians as they endure the hardships of war in 2025. In an emotional panel discussion, the power of connection brought forth by change consistently emerged. This group of Christian scholars from the United States journeyed to Palestine, where they witnessed the very difficult effects of a limited food supply and the extreme restriction of movement, and found other devoted Christians several thousand miles away from their home. Across geography and time zones, these courageous people of faith built bridges with one another in a time of division and turmoil. They offer an example to our children and to us all of Christ's love that is ever present wherever and anywhere we go. I urge you to lean into it fully where it appears. Now, I will say you don't have to leave the country to achieve this connection. I witnessed it firsthand yesterday in the Family Life Center. I heard belly laughs as our amazing kids played cornhole and saw big smiles exchanged among friends. Here in this beloved community of faith, our children are blessed to connect with each other through the changes of life and all of us. From our youngest members who opened our service to Sister Jo Helen Bell, who will be 103 years old on Tuesday. Thank you, Lord. We can praise Jesus for the connections that sustain us through the changes that the decades will bring. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the continuity of change and its connection. And numerous church people across these 34 years that have sustained me, particularly Sister Carolyn Jean Bird and Doreen Poteet Sumlin. To think of the examples and the continuity of time of folks who might have been born in 1932 or 1941 who poured into me limitlessly and showed the love of Christ through our one-on-one Sunday school conversations. Or taking care of us in difficult times. Change offers an opportunity for connection. And we are thankful that Jesus sustains us through it all. Through it all. So, on this Children's Missions Day, 2025, be encouraged, beloved. Jesus Christ is with us through the changes of life and big changes like international conflicts. Jesus is there in small shifts in your life, like the end of another school year. Jesus is with you. Even when things seem difficult, hold on to the grounding, opportunity, and connective power provided by change. In the process, you will draw nearer to Jesus and have faith alongside you to navigate the storm. To answer my own question, what's change to a kid? Change is a grounding with Jesus as the foundation, an opportunity to know him better, and a connected to the Savior and great hope of the world. God bless and keep you all.
Amen. At this time, as the ushers and deacons come, we want to provide someone the opportunity to change their lives. We invite you to come and accept Jesus. as your personal Lord and Savior. Will you come just as you are? And if you're hearing this on live, we ask that you put a comment in. We will reach out to you. Don't let this day pass. You can have the change of a lifetime. Will you come?
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Saint Jesus loves me, He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love Him when I die, He yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so.
Amen. It was ours to extend, and it is our prayer that it is well with your soul.